America is back on Mars. EAA's chairman of the board retires, and Glassair has a change at the top. This is Aero News for Tuesday, August 7th, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. There was no dramatic radio call like, "Houston, the Eagle has landed," but the excitement throughout NASA in the wee hours of Monday morning was just as palpable. The 7 minutes of terror turned into the 7 minutes of triumph as the Mars Science Laboratory spacecraft that carried Curiosity succeeded in every step of the most complex landing ever attempted on Mars, slowing first under parachute, then by rocket backpack until the final severing of the bridle cords and flyaway maneuver of the rocket backpack, from 13,000 miles per hour to wheels down in 7 minutes. Curiosity landed at 2232 August 5th, Sunday evening, Pacific Daylight Time, or 0132 Eastern Daylight Time, early on the morning of August 6th, near the foot of a mountain 3 miles tall and 96 miles in diameter inside Gale Crater. Confirmation of Curiosity's successful landing came in communications relayed by NASA's Mars Odyssey orbiter and received by the Canberra, Australia antenna station of NASA's Deep Space Network. NASA Administrator Charles Bolden said afterwards, quote, "Today, the wheels of Curiosity have begun to blaze the trail for human footprints on Mars. Curiosity, the most sophisticated rover ever built, is now on the surface of the Red Planet, where it will seek to answer age-old questions about whether life ever existed on Mars or if the planet can sustain life in the future," end quote. During a nearly two-year prime mission, the rover will investigate whether the region ever offered conditions favorable for microbial life. After 26 years of continuous service on the EAA Board of Directors, Louis Andrew announced his retirement on August the 3rd. For the past year, Andrew served as chairman of the board of the EAA. In making the announcement, Andrew said, quote, "I had planned to retire this year, and after a great air venture in Oshkosh, and with EAA having a terrific president and CEO Rod Hightower in place, the timing is right. It's now time for me to allow the many other talented directors we have on the board to take their turns," end quote. During his last 10 years on the board, Andrew was the chair of the executive committee of EAA, vice president of EAA, and over the past year, he was chairman of the board of directors. He has also served as treasurer of the International Aerobatic Club, a division of EAA, and had been a member of the IAC board. Andrew also spent countless hours as a key participant in the search for the new president and said he feels they found the right guy in Rod Hightower, saying, quote, "I can't stress enough how convinced I am that we have in Rod Hightower the person who can lead the EAA to the next level. Rod brings the experience, the skill set, and the passion for aviation that assures a bright future for EAA," end quote. Change is also coming at the top of Glassair, where after an 11-year run, Michael Vai is resigning as president now that the plane maker is being sold to a Chinese entity. Vai joined Glassair in 2001, just after it was bought out of bankruptcy. Under his leadership, Glassair Aviation built a new team of employees, acquired the Glassstar line of aircraft, brought composite production in-house, consolidated operations, designed and developed the highly successful Sportsman aircraft, introduced the revolutionary 2 weeks to taxi program, and strengthened Glassair's position as a leader in the aviation industry. A GA airplane operating near Washington, D.C. was intercepted by NORAD F-16s on Saturday, but was allowed to continue on its flight when radio contact was reestablished. The intercept occurred about 1900 Eastern Daylight Time Saturday as the airplane, identified as a Beechcraft King Air, approached the National Capital Area. The jets were scrambled after the airplane failed to respond to attempts to contact it by radio. In a statement, NORAD said that the airplane was allowed to continue on to its destination after contact was reestablished with the aircraft following the intercept. Yesterday, we reported that Air India was using the ongoing NTSB investigation of a GE NextGen engine that malfunctioned last week in South Carolina as an excuse to delay taking delivery of its order of 787 Dreamliners. Now comes word that the government of India has cleared the way for the delivery of 27 Boeing 787 airplanes to Air India. The clearance was given in conjunction with the signing of the Delay Compensation Settlement Agreement. Boeing had originally planned to deliver the Dreamliners to Air India in 2008 and continue until October of last year. Several lengthy delays in getting the airplane flying pushed those delivery dates to a time frame which began in June of this year and has the last of the airline's Dreamliners flying for the carrier in March of 2016. Well, according to the New York Daily News, the agreement signed Friday uncouples the issues which pertain to Boeing's failure to deliver the airplane on its original schedule from side issues dealing with the Dreamliner's performance. IBN Live reports that the performance issues will be negotiated separately and that following a vote of the Cabinet Committee of Economic Affairs, in which the members approved the Civil Aviation Ministry proposal, Air India can now begin taking delivery of the airliners it has ordered. There are reportedly three Dreamliners in Air India livery ready to enter service with the carrier. When Aero News continues, wings and waves to soar over Daytona. Surplus military aircraft could become firefighters. And are you one of these hot dog pilots?
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
Aero News continues now for Tuesday, August 7th. I'm Glenn Moyer. The world-renowned U.S. Air Force Thunderbirds will join an action-packed weekend of aerial performances by more than 40 aircraft over the Atlantic Ocean at Embry-Riddle's Wings and Waves Air Show, set for October 13th and 14th in Daytona Beach. The show begins at 11 a.m. daily on the shorefront in front of the Hilton Daytona Beach Oceanfront Resort. The event, which is the only air show in North America to host three jet demonstration teams, is free and open to the public. Joining the Thunderbirds will be the Canadian Forces Snowbirds and the civilian Black Jet Diamond Team. A number of Embry-Riddle alumni will also be counted among the many performers. Longtime air show favorite and former airline pilot Skytalker Danny Clisham will serve as master of ceremonies. Two U.S. House members from California have introduced legislation that would transfer 14 C-27J airlifters from the Air Force to the U.S. Forest Service to be used in firefighting efforts. Representatives Adam Schiff, Democrat of California, and Judy Chu, also Democrat of California, have sponsored the legislation that would transfer 14 of 21 new or nearly new C-27Js that the Air Force says it no longer needs to the Forest Service for firefighting purposes. The Altadena Patch reports that Schiff said in a news release that the USFS needs to increase the number of planes it has for water drops on wildfires, even though he's been critical of such practices in the past. Schiff said, quote, "The Forest Service should be examining any and all ways to improve their approach to fighting wildfires, including updating and replacing their aging fleet of airplanes," end quote. The U.S. Sport Aviation Expo team had a productive week at EAA's AirVenture in Oshkosh. Sebring Airport Authority Executive Director Mike Willingham and U.S. Sport Aviation Expo Director Jana Phillip greeted Expo exhibitors and made it clear that Expo's focus is to provide exhibitors with as many opportunities as possible to demonstrate their aircraft. To that end, manufacturer showcases will be added to the daily schedule, offering manufacturers a dedicated time to demonstrate their aircraft's performance capabilities. Additional bleachers will be added along the flight line to bring more visitors up front to watch the demonstrations. In addition, companies may choose to have the airshow announcer or a company representative describe the aircraft's performance during each manufacturer's showcase window. It took them 3 days and 15 attempts to get it done, but 138 skydivers hooked up in a massive snowflake formation last Friday evening, free-falling together at speeds of up to 220 miles per hour over Ottawa, Illinois, southwest of Chicago. The formation was witnessed by three judges from the Fédération Aéronautique Internationale, which certified that the group had broken the record last set in 2009. Beyond the sheer size of the formation, what makes this feat more amazing is that the jump altitude began at over 18,000 feet, requiring all to be on oxygen. And this record is for vertical skydiving, meaning each of the jumpers, when they formed the snowflake, were in a vertical dive. In other words, like doing a headstand in the sky. In the movie, The Right Stuff, astronaut Gordon Cooper relishes his reputation as one of those fly-right-out-there-on-the-edge-by-the-seat-of-your-pants hot dog pilots. It's a constant topic of conversation between he and Gus Grissom. But we've just learned there's a different type of hot dog pilot. Since 1992, customers passing through Sporty's Pilot Shop on Saturdays in Claremont County have been treated to free hot dogs at noon. Rain or shine, summer or winter, the free hot dogs were more reliable than the Postal Service. Now, Sporty's reports that just a few days before the opening of AirVenture, Ian Seeger stopped by in his Cessna 182 on the way to Oshkosh and was served a hot dog. But not just any hot dog. Seeger's hot dog was Sporty's 200,000th served. Phil Boyer, former AOA president and airport resident, ate the 150,000th hot dog 5 years ago. And now Michael Wolf, Sporty's president and CEO, says they'll have to plan something really special for the 250,000th hot dog, saying, quote, "That will be a 250,000 tube steaks enjoyed by our customers and friends." Trying to put it all in perspective, Wolf added, quote, "If all the hot dogs Sporty's served were laid end-to-end on our runway, we'd have 28 rows of hot dogs up and down runway 4/22. Now in its 51st year, Sporty's has grown from a one-man operation launched by Hal Shevers to the world's largest pilot shop and an iconic general aviation brand. Sporty's is philanthropically dedicated to expanding the general aviation community with both pilots and skilled technicians. Well, when it comes to hot dogs myself, I'll take mine the all-American way. You know, mustard, ketchup, and a big dose of relish. We hope you relish these Aerocast and invite you to subscribe via iTunes or our website, www.aero-news.net. For now, I'm Glenn Moyer. You're now cleared for departure.